So before I go into my message this morning about Firm Foundation, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. We love Beulah Beach. Our family loves Beulah Beach. You hear me talk about Beulah Beach all the time. But we go to family camp. This summer is our third summer at family camp. We didn't go last year, but this was 2024 was family camp. If you don't know, these are my kids. Anderson is on the right. Adeline is on the left. And the one who's making that pouty face, if you can't tell, she's really sad. I don't know if I made her mad or whatever the case may be, but that's Ariana. She's really happy, but she likes to have her own personality. Let's just be honest with each other. But one day out of that week of family camp, there is this thing called a wacky boat race. And it's a lot of fun, honestly. And you have to make these boats before you go to camp. So I've had two epic fails with this boat race. I'm going to be honest with you. The first year we did it, what happens is you got to have some kind of foundation to make that boat float. Because what happens is you go out to Lake Erie, all these, mainly dads or some moms out there, they go all the way out to literally in Lake Erie to where they really can't stand anymore. And what happens is when the guy says, 1, 2, 3, go, you let the boats go. Take the waves, let the waves just take the boat. It can go one of two ways, I'm going to be honest with you. If it's really windy outside, it will go over to the other side of Lake Erie and probably reach downtown Vermilion and Lorain and all that jazz, and you lose your boat and say bye-bye, okay? Or they won't do anything, honestly. If it's a really dry day and there's no wind, literally, it won't go anywhere. I remember the first year, we let the boats go, and literally, it was like nothing. Like, they just stood there and did their own thing. So we had to splash water, and what happens is, when I splash water, it's construction paper. What happens to construction paper? Right, exactly. You know what I'm talking about. So that was my first epic fail my first year. Well, this time, I was like, man, I'm going to nail this. We're going to give the creative award. My kids created a Noah's Ark. I got two-liter bottle pops thanks to Wanda Bowser. And man, we're going to get this down. And you can see the boat is very tall, but it's not wide. And it was windy that day. But here's the thing. I was smart. I put packaging tape all the way around the boat so it didn't get wet or the paper didn't get wet. I was like so excited. So when they said go, I let the boat go, but it tilted this way and it fell. And then I see my wife is just onshore. She's laughing like no one's business. She thinks it's so hilarious. I think Ariana was crying now I think about it. And the boat just kept tilting over. I would try to set it up. Fall over. Set it up, fall over. Spoiler alert, we did not win the boat race, okay? Just let's be honest with each other. The reason why I'm sharing that this morning is because our lives with Christ can be like that. Amen? I think so. And maybe I'm talking to you this morning, and let me tell you something. Today, I want to talk about a firm foundation. We all need a foundation with Christ. What does your firm foundation look like? That's my question for you today. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, or we have pew Bibles, turn to the book of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, and it's page 730 in your pew Bibles. I also want you to just kind of save this spot, but Matthew chapter 7, verses 24, and that's page 686. And that will be later. So just give you a little background story. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, first three are called synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke share very similar stories, but they have their own interpretation. So Luke is our main passage this morning, but I'm going to go back and forth between Matthew and Luke. This is right at the end, I believe, of Sermon on the Mount. This is the last thing of chapter 6 that Luke talks about. It's the last thing that Matthew chapter 7 talks about. So, but before I do that, I want to pray. I know we prayed earlier, but as Pastor Rick said last week, pray without ceasing. And I believe that God wants us to do that. So do me a favor this morning. We're going to do something different. I want you to hold out your hands like this. Do me a favor. Everybody needs to do that. Everybody, put your stuff down. It's okay. Congregation participation. I love that. This is us surrendering our hearts to Him this morning. Maybe some of you here are just struggling, and that's what I want to do. Let's just surrender it all. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, A lot of us, maybe some of us here this morning, are tired, are weary, broken, maybe even just struggling. Lord, I just pray that we, as symbolically we're doing this right now, we want to surrender our hearts to you. We want to surrender our lives to you. We want to have that firm foundation in you. And maybe some of us here this morning, we've had this firm foundation in the years prior, but we need a little retweaking. Or maybe some of us here this morning, we've never had that firm foundation. And Lord, I just pray that this morning will be that message. Let it not be about me. Let it be about you. Speak through me this morning so I can relay this to our church family. And Lord, I pray that this message will bring honor and glory. We bind and rebuke the enemy. Some of us are in spiritual warfare right now. Lord, I pray right now that the enemy be gone and you be here no matter what. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Here we go. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to me, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it was well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Let me ask you this. Some of you guys that are construction workers, engineers, handyman, I am not a handyman. I'll tell you that right now. Ask my wife. I'm not a handyman. But anyway, can you build a house or a building or whatever without a foundation? No. The answer is no, right? So why would people build a house without a foundation? Why would they just want to say, I just want to get all the fancy stuff, you know, the nice pillars and the door? But why would people want to build a house without a foundation? Maybe perhaps to save time and avoid the hard work of preparation. Whatever the reason is, why in the world no one want to build a house without a foundation, whatever the reason, those with no foundation are short-sighted. Honestly, we need to have a foundation in order to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? You with me? I believe that. We need to have a foundation in order to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. So today I have 4 points. There's what I'm calling 4 foundational levels of a Christian lifestyle. So real quick, we're gonna be using a building as an example metaphor for our message today. So here it is right here. So a lot of you look at it and you're saying, man, it looks familiar. It is Beulah Beach. I know, it's Beulah Beach. I know I'm going to say a lot about Beulah Beach, but I love the ministry of Beulah Beach. Not the fact that it's right off Lake Erie, but I love the ministry of it, Beulah Beach. So this was taken in 2023. So this was the start of what is known as the Sunset Cafe. So a little bit of background, the cafeteria that they had, they still have it technically, it was really, really tiny. Some of you will say amen to that because it just was very claustrophobic and it was starting to get big. So they needed something bigger. So let's look at this for a minute. I know it's a little bit small, but what do you think we need in order to have a foundation? Let's look at this. What do we see? Shout it out. What do we need? Shout it out. I can't hear you. Rocks? Rocks. There's a big pile of rocks on the left side. There's some, I think those are mortar blocks or whatever they're called. I'm not a construction worker, okay? But there's mortar blocks right there around the edges. You need cement, right? You need some kind of firm foundation because what happens if you build off sand? It sinks, right? So you need, they have this foundation and you got, and it takes a long time to build a foundation. Some of you engineers and construction workers will say amen to that. Because if you don't have a strong foundation, your building is gonna go collapsing. So this took a long time for this foundation to do that. So why am I showing this? Let's look at Luke 6:46. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? So what do you think our main base level is in order to make a foundation strong and firm? What do you think that first level is? It's a Sunday school answer, people. Come on. Jesus, God, yeah. We'll get to that word obey here in a minute. You jumped the gun on that one. So you got to have that foundation, right? You got to have God. God is the strongest foundation, because without God, it's impossible. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. So some people, if someone comes up, you say, you tell people that you're engaging with, I got to have God as my base. But someone asks, who is God? We need to answer that question. Who is God? So let's look at Exodus 34:6. You guys have heard me say this verse a lot, and I really reference this. The Lord passed in front of Moses calling out Yahweh, which is another name for God, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. God is a compassionate God. He's merciful. He's loving. He's trustworthy. And there's on and on and on it goes. There's a whole bunch of attributes of God in the Bible. But again, God is the strongest level that will hold everything together. Church family, hear me out on this. If you want to have a meaningful relationship and for him to take you seriously, and not just in times and desperations, not when, oh, God, help me out with this cancer, or God, help me out with, not just in times and desperation, but in other times too. That's when it means to have an intimate relationship. It's like being married. You just don't talk to your wife just in desperate times. At least I hope not. I do marriage counseling. I'm just going to be honest with you. But yeah, you talk to your spouse all the time. You don't talk to them just in desperate situations. That's the same thing with having a relationship with Jesus. There's another scripture passage that is a great promise that you will follow him. Let's see that next one. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. That right there is our vow. It's our promise that we will do this. We will do this. So that's the first foundation. If you don't know God, ask God into your heart. I can't imagine God without God in my life. I'm going to be real with you. All right. Got the first level in. So next thing. So when they had this second phase, okay? It's taking shape, right? We got what? What are those things called? Anybody want to tell me? Beams, rafters, whatever. Thank you. I don't know technical terms. So it's something. It holds the roof, right? Got to have something to hold that roof. Got to have something. So now we're seeing structures. We're seeing frameworks. We have this in our own houses, right? So I mentioned Matthew and Luke had the same sermon, okay, about firm foundation. So I want to share with you Matthew 7. So let's go to Matthew 7 real quick. I told you guys to save that spot. We'll see how many listen. Don't raise your hand if you didn't. I'm just joking. Verse 24. It's up on the screen. Anyone who, what? What's that word? Listens to my teaching and follows it wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Say listen. There you go. Good job. Let me just tell you this. We need to listen to God's voice. I cannot stress that enough. How do we listen for his voice? Well, we spend time in our devotions. We spend time in prayer. Not just praying for a family meal, not just praying for someone that's sick or desperation. That's the one way that we communicate to God. What does your prayer life look like? How do we know what God's voice sounds like? Does he sound like Morgan Freeman? I don't know. You be the judge. But honestly, I have people say that. How do you know what God's voice sounds like? You'll know. You'll know. I can't describe it, but you'll know in that moment. We need to be in tune to what God is telling us to do. You don't have to turn here. James chapter 1, verse 20-25. I know we're going all over the place, but there's a lot that the Bible says about being a firm foundation. So James chapter 1, start with verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. So you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. So, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Here's the thing. If you listen, God will bless you. Give and take. Give and take. And then in chapter 6, verse 47, it says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. I want you to hear me out on this, church family. What I'm about to say is very huge, and I want you to take heart on this. Jesus isn't impressed with how much we've heard. He's focused on what we do with what we've heard. Let me say that again. Jesus isn't impressed with how much we've heard. He's not impressed with, oh, I memorized scripture. I know this. I know John 3:16. No, he's focused on what we do with what we've heard. Okay? Now, I know listening can be tough at times. I know some of you ladies out there who are married will say, well, my husband never listens to me at all. I'm surprised no one said amen to that. Because if my wife was in here, she would say amen to that, but she's in children's ministry, so she hasn't heard my message. So, and then vice versa, the husbands will say, well, my wife never listens to me. I'm so glad none of you guys said amen, because you would be you'd be sleeping on the bed. We have plenty of couches in the church. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? But then think about this. Some of you that are parents or grandparents will say, well, my kids or grandkids, they never listen to me. It's like talking to a wall. Amen to that, right? Sometimes I'm be real with you. And then here's the vice versa part of it. Then you talk to the kids, whether you're kindergarten through fifth grader or some of my student ministry that's 6th through 12th grade, they will say, well, mom and dad don't listen to me. But here's my question. For you as a person, are you listening to his voice? Because if you aren't fully listening to his voice, how do you as a person expect whatever the situation is, your mom, dad, your grandparent, your spouse, your parent, whatever, how do you expect for them to listen, but you're not fully listening to God? If you are the head of the household and you're trying to teach your kids that you need to listen to God, but you're not doing it, what's the point? And I'm not perfect at it, guys. Hear me out on this. I'm not perfect, but we need to be. Let's look at James 1:22 again. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. In English, if you are not listening to God, to whatever he has for your life, you are a fool. And some of you are saying, wow, that's below the belt there. But I'm just going to be real with you. If you're not listening to God, you are a fool. Because we just saw at the end of that passage, if you listen, God will bless you. You with me? Still with me? Okay. Some of you guys, no, I'm just joking. So we got two levels of this foundation. We got God, we got listen. So God's the strongest. And then when we accept God as our Lord and Savior, we have that relationship, then we need to listen to what God tells us. So let's see what the next phase is. Here's phase three. Wow, we're starting to see shape in this building. A little bit, right? We got a roof. What else we got? Talk to me. Walls. We got walls. You got to have walls. You have some air there. I think, yeah, actually there are. There's some of them don't have windows. We have windows, right? And then the big post right there is actually a sign eventually. But we're starting to take shape. That's how our lives need to be taking shape. Matthew 7, verse 26. Go to Matthew 7 real quick. Verse 26, it says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. Say obey. 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 Then we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 49, but anyone who hears, doesn't obey, is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So again, what happens when you don't have a firm foundation and you're building on top of sand? What happens? It sinks. It sinks. So what do you think our third layer, our third, I'm sorry, not layer, level. What do you think our third level is? Obey. Obedience. Obedience. If we are listening to God's voice, we need to obey to what he is wanting us to do. If you are a parent like me and have three kids that are in elementary age, we expect our kids to obey, right? If you're a team leader or manager for a company, we expect our people to obey. But if you're not being the team leader like you're supposed to be, and you're not obeying, what do you expect your teammates to do? They're not going to obey. But if we are truly following God and we don't obey, what is God wanting us to do as people? How do we expect people that look up to us to obey? If you're a parent and if you're me and don't obey your wife sometimes, it happens, I'll be honest with you. Your kids aren't going to do that. My wife reminds me of that time and time again. Well, if you're yelling, the kids are going to yell back at you. Thanks. I feel so much better now. Appreciate that. It's give and take with my relationship, but anyway. Anyway, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. What's that underlying passage? Does it say if you obey? Does it say if you sometimes obey? No, it says what? If you what? Fully obey. Some of you that were raised in the 90s know a TV show called Home Improvement. I love Home Improvement. It's awesome. One of the episodes, I'll never forget this, they were at a hockey game, and they were trying to sell tickets, and Al Borland, who's this kind of frou-frou guy, I like to say, and Tim Allen's the manly man, Al Borland, he'll say like, hey, let's go halfsies. And Tim Taylor's saying, guys, don't go halfsies, all right? We need to be full in. And that's the thing. We need to be fully obeying. Are you going to be perfect at it? No. But what should we aim for that? You betcha. You betcha. I mentioned this. I'm not perfect. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. She'll say amen to everything that I don't do. But there's two C.S. Lewis quotes that I want to share with you, and I think it's really important, honestly. First one, obedience is the key that opens every door. God will open doors of opportunity. And the big question is, are you going to go for what God has for you in the door of opportunity? Are you going to say yes, or are you going to say no? The second one, I want you to hear this out. Obedience is the road to freedom. Let me read that again. Obedience is the road to freedom. Some of you say, man, that's deep, right? Some of you may feel just chained up, life tearing you down. I mean, some of you are going through a storm or a trial. And in order for God to help you, not only do you need to listen, but you need to obey because you can be free. You with me? I want you to take this to heart. Obedience is an act of worship. Did you know that? Worship is not just singing songs. I know some people think that. Oh, worship, it's all about music. That's just a tenth of what worship is. That's a sermon for another day, another time. But obedience is an act of worship. Again, if you're not obeying him, what is the point in following God and listening to him if you're not going to do what he says? I want you to think about that long and hard, honestly. Last level. Here we go. Let's look at the building for a minute. Let's look at our... Wow! It's pretty much done. There might be some inside stuff that we don't know about. Yes, there's landscape. So, Spencer, if you're in the room, there's landscape. I promise, okay? But now we've got... All the walls are in. A lot of these really cool decorative posts is up there. Windows are in. And now it's taking shape now. That's the finishing product right there. There's a big sign. It's the Sunset Cafe. And if you've never been up there, I encourage you to go up there and visit. But look at the hard work. And now they're open. It's almost been 2 years since they've been open. And they're not utilizing that just for cafeteria food, but they're using it for other things. That's what I love about Beulah Beach. They have a great ministry up there. So what would be our last level? Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Say action. And say confident. We have to be confident in our actions. Now, some of you, And some of you that are in my student ministry and student ministry volunteers, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? You know exactly what I'm going to say. Guys, finish this sentence. Actions? Wow, that sounded really pitiful, honestly, but that's okay. But actions speak louder than words. I think I have a slide up there. I'm pretty sure of it. A lot of you that know me really well, you know, honestly, I think I jumped the gun. I'm sorry, James. But we need to take action. We say we believe God is our base for our foundation. We believe in him, and then we are going to be really in tune and listen to him. And after listening to him, we need to obey him. So we said yes to the obedience, but now we need to take action. And a lot of you know me, hear me say that actions speak louder than words. But I want you all to take that to heart. Some of you are here today, coming to a sermon. Rick does a great message. I don't know about me. But anyway, someone up here does a great message, right? And you're so on fire for Jesus. And then you leave this place, and you're still on fire for Jesus. But then you go to work on Monday. What typically happens? You go back to your old ways. At least for some. Maybe some of you, you're on fire for Jesus, and that's what we want. But there are people that I know in my life that will come to a service, and then they just go back to their old ways. Stop just saying it. Stop saying you're going to obey him, but actually take action. Honestly, it all goes back to that first verse that we said, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Guys, hear me out. Don't just call God because you're desperate. We need to have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to wrap up here. And I want you to know something. There's two questions I want to ask this morning. What does your firm foundation look like? What does your firm foundation look like? And maybe even a better question, a second question, who is your firm foundation? You with me? I don't want you to take this sermon and say, oh, that's a nice sermon, he did a great job, all that stuff. I want you to take this to heart. Because we sang that song today, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, we stand, and everything around me is shaken. I've never, ever been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He'll never let me down. He's faithful through every generation and every season. So why would he fail now? He won't fail you. And some of you in this room are struggling with your foundation, your relationship with Jesus. Some of you are struggling with marriages. Some of you are struggling with work. And on it goes. And some of you may have had the first level saying, I know God, but I haven't listened to him. Or I've listened to him, but now I need to obey. It's like a house. I have a house, an old farmhouse. And honestly, we've remodeled most of the house because it needs that. I'm very thankful I don't have to do the foundation. Some houses need new foundations. Maybe your life needs that remodeling. Maybe some of you need that remodeling happening. Our foundation needs God. Maybe some of you are going through storms or trials. Like I mentioned, maybe some of you, it's marriage, raising kids, or your own personal life, or you're saying, man, I don't have a firm foundation. And I feel like God is not with me, and he's abandoning me. Why would he fail you? He won't. He's never going to fail you. He's always going to love you, and he's never going to forsake you. Amen? I've been through situations like that where I felt like God just abandoned me, but he hasn't. I am, and I love this song. We're going to sing this as a closing, but it's a declaration, and we need to make that our anthem. Really mean that Christ is our firm foundation. Really meaning that. He will never fail you. And if you believe this, he needs to be your firm foundation. I believe that. So I want to do this real quick. I want to pray. I want every head bow, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you today that are struggling with your relationship with Jesus, or you're struggling with your marriage, or you're struggling with this, can you slip your hand for me real quick? Because I want to pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. And I see that hand. Lord, you know these people. You know their lives. You know what they are capable of. You know their relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that they just actually dig deep and remodel their lives and really say that Christ is my firm foundation. And then we build on from that, listening, obeying, and actually taking action. Not just saying it, but doing it. And it might be hard. We may have to move. We may have to do this. But honestly, we need to listen to you. We need to follow you. And we need to say yes to whatever you want us to do and actually take action. So Lord, I pray this morning as we leave here, we just don't say it, but we actually do it. And that next Sunday, we can still be on fire for Jesus, and we're a changed people. Lord, I've struggled, you know that. And everybody in here has struggled. We're in this together. People are not alone. We're in this together. We're a family. So Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this room that they just know you in every way. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would love to talk with you afterwards. If you're struggling, I would love to talk with you afterwards. So let's stand together. Let's worship and sing about His firm foundation.